Tomorrow is the 100th anniversary of the deadliest fire in modern American history. On December 30, 1903, 602 people died when the Iroquois Theater in Chicago caught fire. It happened during a matinee of the show Mr. Bluebeard. Anthony Hatch is author of Tinderbox, The Iroquois Theater Disaster, 1903. He says the Iroquois had only been open 5 weeks, and it was advertised as being absolutely fireproof.
Unfortunately, the theater had been hastily constructed. Building inspectors had been paid off with free tickets. And so the Iroquois Theater opened in mid-November without firefighting equipment, without any exit signs, without a sprinkler system, without a backstage telephone. And the public was very complacent about it and very trusting.
And what happened then? How did the fire actually start?
It started in a spotlight backstage. It caught on to some flammable sets and scenery, and it resulted in what amounted to be a flash fire. The fire spread very rapidly. The musicians knew what was going on, but most of the audience sat there for many minutes thinking that the red glow which appeared above the proscenium arch was one of the special effects in this huge musical comedy production.
Once people realized what was going on with the fire, then what happened?
There were shots of fire, and there was a lot of panic. And Eddie Foy, the starring comedian of the show, ran down from his dressing room. He knew immediately what was happening. And he ran through the performers on the stage to the very edge of the footlights and begged the audience three times to go slow, proceed calmly out of the theater, that everything would be okay. But even as he addressed the audience, sparks and pieces of flaming scenery were showering down around him. They singed his wig. And there was no controlling the crowd. They panicked. And as they started fighting their way toward exits, which they could not identify in the darkness because there were no exit signs, the stagehands and the escaping members of the performing troupe threw open double metal scenery doors in the rear of the stage. A draft of very cold air blew in, mixed with the superheated air that was now consuming the scenery, and blew out. This fireball shot out into the audience and raked the people sitting in the gallery and the balcony.
Citizens that came to help during and after the fire described a quite horrible scene. Can you share with us some of those accounts?
Yes, there were many, many women and children. It was a Christmas holiday matinee. The theater had been overcrowded far beyond its stated capacity. The first arriving firemen, police, and newsmen on the scene found piles of bodies stuck in doorways. The doors would not open. A lot of trampling. Some people's facial features were totally obliterated. There were horrible scenes, and the first arriving firemen and police who groped their way up rope lines to get into the theater were sickened by what they saw, and many of them emerged crying. And the horror that set in, not only in Chicago, but in New York, in Europe, around the United States, it was absolutely unthinkable that people could perish in a brand new theater.
So there was quite a bit of outrage in the aftermath.
There was outrage in all the nation's newspapers and those in Europe, too.
Did anyone go to jail? Was anyone ultimately held accountable for this?
Nobody was held accountable. Nobody was found guilty of anything. Nobody paid a fine. Nobody went to jail.
One of the things that's interesting about your work is you look backward and forward in doing the research for your work, and you found that many of the problems that existed in the Iroquois Theater are present today in theaters and may have contributed to some of the fire disasters that we've seen this year.
Not just theaters. Places of public occupancy, such as the Chicago building that was on fire some months ago. The nightclub stampede in Chicago that occurred earlier in the year and then followed immediately by the nightclub fire and stampede in Rhode Island. And the state of Rhode Island, 5 months after the disaster, passed what was said to be the most stringent fire codes on the books. And one of the survivors of the nightclub disaster was there that day and said that he hoped that the ordinances would be followed. And that's the question. Will they be followed?
Mr. Hatch, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. And I also have some audio if you're interested. It's the last thing that the people heard in the theater that day. I got the sheet music and had a professional group record it.
Let's listen to it.
Okay, it's called Let Us Swear It by the Pale Moonlight.
So this is actually what the patrons were listening to.
This is what was being performed on stage at the time. And the eight young men and eight young women had just come out and joined hands and danced down to the footlights, and the fire broke out, and they could see it, and the musicians saw it, but they continued to perform with this shower of sparks and then burning scenery coming down around them. And the song was interrupted by Eddie Foy running out on the stage begging people to be calm.
Mr. Hatch, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Anthony Hatch is the author of Tinderbox, the Iroquois Theater Disaster, 1903.